Praise the Lord. We're in Ephesians 6 today. I want to say welcome to all of you again, and then to those on the Warrington campus. Thank you for being in your seat today. Last Sunday was a record attendance at Warrington. Since we've been going over there, had more last Sunday than any Sunday ever had on the campus at Warrington. Amen. And so we welcome you. Glad that you are in your place today. Those that watch by television, listen by radio, thank you for being a part of the worship service at Olive Baptist Church, as well as to our live stream family. Those that are watching, had a lady come in this morning, brought her money, and then went out the door. She said, "Pastor, got sick folks at home. I'll be watching online." And so we welcome you today as well. And to all of you that are our guests, thank you for coming and joining us. We are beginning today a four-part series on what we call the growth track. This is born right out of our Vision 25 that we brought to you several months ago, and this is a part of it. The college ministry is a part, the new counseling ministry was a part, and now this discipleship pathway that we call the growth track. If you're interested in joining this church, we would invite you to attend the growth track. There are four parts to it, four Sundays over in the conference room, 1, 2, 3, 4. We just take you right through that. You don't have to go through it to join. You join the church by a profession of faith and baptism. That's what's required, okay? You don't have to take a class or give money or turn a flip, all right? You come, you profess faith in Christ, you're baptized. But we encourage everyone, either with interest or you've already committed, to go through that growth track. And we've got a lot of folks in the church that will not go through that because you're already members. So we're going through it in connection groups. You started this morning. I'm preaching about it. Next week we'll go number 2, the following week 3, and the following week 4. And we walk right through this and take the whole church through it as we begin. So we come today to the gospel. I'm entitling the message, "Put on Your Gospel Shoes." In Ephesians 6, Paul lays out for us the gospel armor. I've got a picture here of what children should learn. If you've never memorized the gospel armor, you need to memorize the gospel armor. There's 6 pieces to it. It makes a T. There are 3 across and 3 up and down. The T is for triumphant living. So you put on the pieces up and down first. They are the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace. That's where we're going today. And then across the top, there is the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let's practice. Say them out loud with me. Out loud. The belt of the breastplate, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of the helmet of, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You put those across, up and down, you got a T, triumphant living. It is the Christian in full armor, and you need it because the old wiles of the devil come against us. And if we're going to stand in victory, we need all of the armor. But we take one piece of it today, and they are the gospel shoes. The gospel shoes. All of these pieces, Paul took right off of a Roman soldier and what they wore. And he then used that metaphor, that illustration, that picture. And the Roman soldier would stand, and his feet were like cleats. They had spikes on the bottom so that when they held that shield, as people, they could grip into the dirt and into the seams between the stones on those Roman roads. And they would lock down and they would stand with the gospel of peace, knowing that they were sure and steadfast. It's the gospel. That's where we begin with the growth track. Everything hinges on the gospel. Ephesians 6 And verse number 15 is where we begin today, where Paul speaks when he speaks of this third piece of the gospel armor, and he says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Never forget the gospel. The gospel, it's our message. The word is euangelion. There we have EU at the front and angelos, the word angel or messenger, at the end. It is a good message. It is good news. It's like a eulogy. You do a funeral. I have one tomorrow night. Someone will give the eulogy. EU on the front is good. Logos is on the back end, word. When you eulogize someone, you speak a good logos, a good word. If you got bad things to say, they don't let you talk. You sit out there and grumble. You say, "Well, you know, I knew." Well, we're not asking you to give a bad word. Eulogy is a good word. Well, a good message is the gospel. It is good news, the euangelion that comes to us. So I want us to think about the gospel this morning in our growth track. And I want to hang the gospel on three nails in the wall that I want to put this message around. And it all comes right out of verse 15, "Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Number one, the gospel, believe it. Believe it. The gospel is good news. At Christmas, the good news came with great joy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1, Paul wrote, and he said these words, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the euangelion, I make known to you the good news, the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you also stand." Now, friends that are gathered here, that listen on our broadcast or live stream or radio, you must believe the gospel. You must know it with your mind, but you must believe on it in your heart. The good news is this. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, the good news is that Jesus came. He lived and he died and he rose again. That is the gospel. Nothing more, nothing less than Jesus dying for you. The Bible speaks of that gospel. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, the Bible says that Jesus died for all of us. In 1 Timothy 2:6, it says that he gave himself a ransom for all of us. In 1 Timothy 2:4, the Bible says that God desires all men to be saved. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says that God desires all men to come to repentance. In Acts 17 in verse 30, God is declaring to men now everywhere that all men should repent, turn from their wicked way, and come to Christ. 2 Peter 3:9, God does not wish for any to perish. Do you get the message? It's good news. Jesus died for all of you. He died for the whole world. That's the good news. But you must believe it. You must be born a second time. I want to ask, is there anyone here, do it at Warrington too, is anyone here that today is your birthday? Anybody have a birthday? Does anybody here that it's your birthday today? Stand up and say amen. Is anybody here that's got a birthday? You're not going to have to do more than stand up. All right, we have one right here. It's a birthday. Amen. Happy birthday to you. She knows her birth date. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody? All right. Amen. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Anybody else decide to just now figured it out that today is your... Okay, all right, amen. They're trusting me now that I'm not going to sing to them or make them do something. Today's your birthday. Yesterday was my oldest granddaughter's birthday, and I think day after tomorrow is the second. They're right together. We just had a little party. They're 7 and 5, and so they know their birthday. I know my birthday. Do you know yours? Turn to your neighbor and tell them when your birthday is. All right? Mine's December 14th, Helen. Amen. Amen. Okay, you know your birthday. Now listen to me. I want you to take your pencil, if you're keeping notes, and I want you to write down your spiritual birthday. That's the day you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, I don't know the exact date. I don't either. I know it was 1963, and it was on Thursday evening, the second Thursday in June 1963. I could write that down. Can you write me down a date of when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know it? This means yes, this means no. All right? Do you know it? If you know it, just write it down in your notes, or write it in your mind, or lean over to your sweetheart and say, I got saved, and this is when it was. Now, there's no doubt there's people in this room today, people in the Warrington campus room, people listening. You don't know because you've never believed on Jesus. You say, preacher, I've always believed. I understand what you're saying, but you must come to a firm confession to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like you have a physical birthday, you have a spiritual birthday. It's the day you draw the line and step across it. Last Sunday was a great day in the trailer household. In the second service at 11 o'clock, I gave the invitation. And Catherine, our 7-year-old granddaughter, came forward. And I knelt down right here. And she had received the Lord in one of our children's ministries just a few weeks ago. And she had never come forward. They had told her, when you're ready, then we'll do that. But she had prayed to receive Christ. And she was sitting with Liz last Sunday. And as I pressed the invitation, she kept leaning up to her grandmother. And finally, Liz looked at her and said, do you want to go? She said, I do. I want to go. You want me to go? Yes. And I looked up, and here she came. My wife was squalling, weeping, nose running. And I knelt down and I said, Lord, help me here. I can't cry. Somebody's got to talk to this girl. And so I just asked her, and she said, yes, Papa, I got saved in Splash Camp just a few weeks ago. I said, why have you come? She said, I want to be baptized. And so next Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, I'll baptize my granddaughter. She has a physical birthday yesterday. She has a spiritual birthday, and she remembered exactly when it was. They took her back here. One of our counselors asked her. She told her exactly when she got saved. Friend, if you can't tell me when you got saved, you need to tell me today is the day you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. Because He died for you. He calls you. It's not His will that any should perish. But friend, if you die without Christ, perish you shall. The gospel. Believe it. Believe on it. Lean into it. Confess it. And make today your day of salvation. The gospel, believe it. Number two, the gospel, tell it. Tell it. If you know Jesus, you should tell others about it. Our text says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet, that's why you put on your shoes. You're supposed to go with the gospel. Isaiah 52. And verse number 7 says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. How lovely are the feet. That passage is taken out of wartime. And Isaiah says, when the messenger would come running to say, victory is ours, how lovely are their feet. And Paul picks up on that and uses it in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 15. Paul quotes it and he says, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Just like the messenger comes with victory, so the preacher is to go with the gospel. And how beautiful are his feet. I was in Romania preaching with beautiful feet, bringing the gospel. I got a word just last Sunday. They had their first baptismal class. Many, many people got saved during those 8 days of preaching. They had 30 in the first baptismal class. They got saved. And so they're getting them ready, going through to teach them in their growth track. There'll be others that will come and be a part of that 30 plus people who said to me, and then we had others that were saved in other churches, how beautiful are the feet when you bring good news. Let me tell you, it's a good day when you hear the gospel. But you are to take the gospel. If you know Jesus, your feet are to be beautiful as well. Romans 15 and verse number 20, Paul said it this way. Thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. Paul said, I want to go somewhere where the gospel's never been preached. He said, preacher, I don't think I want to go to Africa. I don't think I want to go to the Middle East. Their corner's in your very office building where the gospel's never been shared. You need to set up shop. You need to have beautiful feet. Who's your one? Who's your one? You need to go with the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 in verse 15, so for my part I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Yesterday, I went down to pick my mother up where she stays in her apartment, and there was a young lady there. She was singing country song. She was good. We listened a little while, and then as we left, she was leaving. And as I walked out, she was loading up her sound equipment in her car, and I noticed her tag was a Michigan tag. I thought, well, she's got a Michigan tag. She hadn't been here very long, probably in the military, don't know. And so I began to talk to her, and she said, well, don't tell anybody, but said, I've been here 2 years, just hadn't got a new tag yet. We laughed, and of course, I was born in Detroit, and she was from Ann Arbor, and we began to strike up a conversation. And so I asked the question, do you have a church? She said, you know, we're looking for a church. We don't have a church yet. And so I reached in my pocket and got out one of my Olive Gospel tracts and shared with her. And she didn't know who I was, didn't give a rip. She said, where is your church? I said, well, it's right down the road here. You go down. You know where the West Florida Hospital is? She said, yeah. I said, just across. She said, oh, where the sign? I said, yeah. I said, that's where we go to church. She said, we may come. I said, wonderful. So she'll walk in here one day, and I'll be standing up here. And she said, why is that guy mad down there? How are your feet? How are your feet? Are they shod with the preparation of the gospel? The gospel. Are you going with the gospel? In the 1800s, a man by the name of Charles Peace was a burglar and a murderer in London. He was caught, arrested, and sentenced to die by being hung by the neck. When his day came to be executed, he walked the long walk toward the gallows, and a chaplain walked beside him, reading Bible passages about hell, and said to Charles Frederick Peace, trust in Jesus and miss hell. And Leonard Ravenhill says, that Charles Peace stopped and looked at that chaplain and said, I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in your hell. But if I did believe there was a God, and if I believe that there was a heaven and there was a hell, I would walk on glass across this nation and would walk on my hands and knees if needed in order to share your gospel with someone if it could keep them out of that place that you believe in called hell. And he marched to his death, died by the hanging of his neck, and this very moment is in hell today because he did not believe. But what a mighty preacher he was when he said to all of us, if you believe that gospel, you ought to walk with your feet shod, even if you have to walk on glass and crawl on your hands and knees to tell one lost soul, repent. You can miss hell and make heaven if you'll come to Jesus. Have you got your feet shod? There's a ball game tonight. I'm coming here to preach. We're going to baptize two people tonight. We're going to baptize two in the next service. Gonna baptize two tonight. I'll be here. I'll get home in time for the last half. There'll be all kinds of shoes worn in that game tonight. There will. I guarantee somebody's gonna have LeBron James' name written, or gonna have Kobe Bryant's name written on their shoes. Did y'all know Kobe Bryant died? You'd have to be dead and in the grave if you didn't know that. All right, I'm just telling you, it's everywhere. And people have that on their shoes. They put Messi on their shoes. And they'll go out and they'll check that turf in Miami. Some of them will change shoes two or three times just so they got the right shoes on tonight. So that when they make that cut, they can go and they won't slide and slip. They need the right kind of shoes. You tell your friend, the shoes that Christians need to have on are gospel shoes. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Taking the gospel. Sharing the gospel, giving the gospel. Somebody said you ought to live in such a way that you don't even have to talk. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus told us to live, but he told us to speak the gospel. It's not good news till somebody hears. You need to tell the gospel. The gospel, believe it. The gospel, tell it. The gospel, live it. Live it. Look at it right here in verse 15. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. That your life is different. It's the gospel of peace. Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me now. When you get saved, you have peace with God. There's nothing between you and the Savior. You have to worry anymore about going to heaven. You hear me? Somebody will say amen. That's good news. I'm telling you, get saved, you've got peace with God. God is your friend and you are His. He is your Father. You are His son or daughter. And there is peace between you and your Creator. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. But then there is the peace of God. That's in Philippians 4 and verse number 7. And the peace of God, that God's peace settles on us, surpasses all comprehension. It'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. This is how you live the gospel. Let me tell you, nobody's believing you tell the gospel if you're fretting about everything in your life. If you have no peace with God and you have no peace about what's going on in your life. I spoke with a lady this morning about her cancer issue. She just looked at me and she said, Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just, all's well. Like she really believed God got taken care of. Matter of fact, if she died, she gets a promotion. Doesn't want to die. But as long as she's here, she's walking with the peace that she has with God, now she has the peace of God. There's so much fretting going on in this world. Everybody's worried about something. Fret not. I mean, if you're trusting God to take you to heaven, He can get you to the corner. I mean, He can take you to heaven, He can get you to Monday, can't He? I mean, if God can get you to heaven, he can take care of your retirement. Some of y'all really think the U.S. government controls your retirement. Friend, it's not Social Security, it's Savior Security. He ain't going to take care of you. You need a plan. You need to have all that. Well, let me tell you, when it's all over, friend, you trust Jesus. Amen. As you walk by peace. You have peace with God, now they have the peace of God. But now let me tell you, there is the God of peace. Look in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 4. Oh my. The things, listen to what Paul said. The things that you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me. Paul said, what you learned from me, what you received from me, what you heard from me, what you've seen, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let me tell you, friend, he walks with us. Hallelujah. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. The God of peace walks. And let me tell you, you will share the gospel when the God of peace is walking. That's why you ought to be in a small group. It's there that you learn and receive and you hear and you see it. And the things of God are in you. And then the God of peace is with you. He's with you. I read in the diary of an old pastor a few days ago, and he said he pastored a little country church, and there was a guy that worked in the town. His name was Jim, and he said every day when Jim would go to work, he'd come by the church, and he'd walk in, and he'd walk up in the front of that little altar, and said he'd just stand there. And he said, I saw him, and I wondered. He said, so I started eavesdropping. Sounded like a preacher, doesn't it? He said, I kind of came over, and he said, I kept seeing him in there, and I just stand behind the door. And he said, every morning, he said, he'd come, and he said, I'd see him, and he said, over and over, I heard him. And he said, he would stand there, and the first thing he would say is, Jesus, it's Jim. And then he said, he'd pray a few minutes, and he'd go on about work. He said the next day I saw him walk in. He said he walked right down to the altar. He didn't kneel down. He just said he's standing. He'd say, Jesus, it's Jim. And he'd pray his prayer. He said he did this for a long, long time. Weeks and weeks, years went by. But he said, word came to me one day that Jim had fallen ill and he was in the hospital. So he said, I went down to see him. And when I got there, he said, I talked to some of the nurses, and they said, we've never had a patient like this. And the pastor said, what are you talking about? He said, just the peace that he has. He doesn't seem to worry about anything. He's just there, and just seems like it's great. So the pastor said, well, I got to ask him about this. He said, I went in and said, Jim, they just say you're just walking in peace, and everything's great. He said, how can you do that? How do you know that? He said, well, Pastor, all I can tell you is the first night I was here, it happened. The second night I was here, it happened. He said, I don't know if it's a vision or a dream or whatever it is, but he said, in the night, he said, some man comes and stands at the foot of my bed. And he said, when he gets there, he just stands there and he says, Jim, it's Jesus. Jim, it's Jesus. He said, Pastor, I don't know if I'm making it up or what's, but he said, I'm telling you, it's as real to me. He said, I see him. He comes every night. And he says, Jim, it's Jesus. And he said, Pastor, I'm telling you, he's got it under control. And that is how I'm walking through this hill. Friend, what that is, the gospel, he believed it. The gospel he'd been telling, but let me tell you, the gospel, he was living it. The Jesus life. We're crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us, and the God of peace. He never leaves us. Lord God, somebody's going to run and have a spell right here. I'm telling you, he's with you. He never leaves you. That is the gospel. Your spouse dies, the God of peace is with you. You get ill, the God of peace is with you. You lose your job, the God of peace is with you. Difficulty comes, the God of peace is with you. You have great victory and get blessed, the God of peace is still with you. You're on top of the world. Let me tell you, don't run off and leave him, because you're going to need him when you hit the bottom. The God of peace is with you. See, we are both in Christ, and Christ is in us. When you are in Christ, that's redemption. When Christ is in you, that's sanctification. When you're in Christ, you've been made fit for heaven. But when Christ is in you, you've been made fit for this earth. When you are in Christ, that changes your destination in eternity. But when Christ is in you, it changes your destiny while you're on this earth. When you're in Christ, heaven is your home. And when Christ is in you, this world is his workshop in you. Are you in Christ today? And are you living as if Christ is in you? I'm going to invite you to come get saved today. Come right here. Little Catherine came last week. This week we had a birthday party. She talked to her grandmother. She said, "Grandmother," she said, "who do you think was the most scared last Sunday morning?" Liz looked at her and said, "What?" She said, when we went down there, said, who do you think was the most scared, you or me?" Liz was crying, and she said, "Oh, I don't know, darling. I was nervous." And said, "Were you nervous?" "Yeah." But when they came together, one bringing another. Amen. And some of you are in here, and you're nervous about coming today. You ought to just reach over to somebody and say, "Would you go with me? Would you go down to the pastor with you?" You don't may say, "I don't even know this person." They'll come with you. Matter of fact, you may reach over and ask them to go. They may be more scared than you are. Matter of fact, they may need to get saved. Would you come? I'll make you a deal today. If you need somebody to come get you, you just shout at me. I'll come get you myself. I'll come to where you are. We want to help you. Let me tell you, friend, the gospel is good news. But you must believe it and receive it. Amen. Then you need to tell it. And the way you tell it here is go through that baptismal water. It's like people do in the next service. And then you need to live it. Jim, this is Jesus. He said, "I never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." The gospel, it's good news. Would you receive it today? Would you receive it? I know in this early service, I know we have some of God's most faithful people that come to this earth, but we have folks that walk in here at 9:30 that don't know him. There are people on that warranty campus don't know him. There are people listening, television, radio, you don't know. Call on him and ask him to be your Savior today. When we sing these songs, I'm going to invite you to get up out of your seat, walk right here, and say yes to Jesus. Some of you say, "Preacher, I've been saved. Well, it's time to be baptized. Come. Ready to join the church? Come. You can come here. You can go into the foyer at the Next Step tables. They'll gladly meet you there as well. In this invitation out there, you come. It's good news. I was just a boy. My mother, who's in this service, she's leading our youth choir when I was a little boy. I used to sing in the choir. I don't have a bad voice. If I can get on the melody, I can sing it, you know, find it. I get in. I'm not going to sing a solo very often, but we did the Jesus Movement musical that almost every church in America did. Good news coming, good news coming, good news coming. Ernie O'Toole was in that. I don't mean he was one of the names in the musical. Ernie O'Toole used to go to our Sunday school. That's him. Yeah. But if Ernie O'Toole didn't get the good news coming, good news. We took that little musical all over the mountain. We'd sing it here, you know, and young people would come get saved. Why? Because it was good news. Good news. That is the gospel. And we extend good news. Good news. Good news. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He saved you. It's good news. Just receive it. Receive the good news.